You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Can you give the Lord a shout?
Amen.
Amen. This is going to be a shouting sermon. I want you to feel free. You hear something that stirs you up, I want you to shout. Because you want to, because you feel it, because you feel the Lord. I feel the Lord in this place this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you humbly, Lord, for an anointing from you. I cannot preach a message without that anointing, Father, and I ask you to just give it to me, Lord, that I can deliver the message that you laid on my heart for your people on this day. And I ask in the name of Jesus, my Lord and risen Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we celebrated Resurrection Day.
Yes.
Are you over it?
No.
No, good. A day to commemorate and remember Christ's resurrection from the dead. And I say that ought to be every day.
Yeah.
That we remember that because He is risen. Amen?
Yes, He is.
Last time I preached, I preached on Blessed Assurance, and I used that hymn. And a hymn came to my mind for this sermon as well. And I love the old hymns of the church. I like the courses. I like the upbeat. But I love that red book.
Yeah.
Wow. And a lot of those songs in that book are written during the Depression.
Yeah.
And it shows you where those writers were at. Where their faith was, who their faith was in. I love it. So I love the old hymns of the church, and they're so rich in theology. It's not just a song, but they're rich and they teach. This song says, "Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain." And listen. "And He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose." And I want to tell you this morning, He's alive. Praise God. He lives.
Amen.
We'll talk about the resurrection this morning. Looking at John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus, talking with Martha, says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?"
Amen.
And I ask you this morning, do you believe this? It's the title of my sermon. How important is the resurrection? It is vital to our very faith.
Yes.
To deny the resurrection from the dead, both for Christ and for us, many do this. Many deny it. They don't believe it. He asked that question, do you believe this? Because he asked that question because it's important. But many deny it. "When you're dead," they say. I believe that thinking comes from the same source as not believing in God at all, or believing in evolution and such. I believe it is because man loves his sin. Because he loves his sin, he's willing to believe these lies because it eases his conscience. No God, no judgment. No God, no accountability. So they deny God, they deny creation, and they deny the resurrection. It is a very serious matter to deny the resurrection. I want to look at some consequences of doing so. My main text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 12 through 19. "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In this life, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. King James says, most miserable. How many are glad you know Jesus?
Amen.
How many know how miserable it would be if He was not risen? And our faith was futile and our faith was in vain. We see in verse 12 that some in the church of Corinth were believing and saying that there is no resurrection from the dead. It was a problem then that Paul addressed in his letter. And unfortunately, it is a problem even yet today. I find it very interesting how people can claim faith in God but deny His power. I don't understand that, do you?
Amen.
I just don't understand. And there are people that they say they believe in God, they say they follow God, but they don't believe in His power. With their mouth, they claim that He is almighty. But in their hearts, they don't really believe in His power. They don't believe in creation. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in miracles. These are professing Christians now. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe in the gifts and the workings of the Holy Spirit. And they don't believe in changed lives. How many know about changed lives?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Basically, they don't believe the God of the Bible. They are called nominal Christians. And the word nominal means in name only. Because if you don't believe in the power, if you do not believe in the God of the Bible, you're believing in something else. What is the point with them? Why bother? What a sad place to be, those who don't truly believe. The Scripture says they have a form of godliness. They get up and go to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe they do good things. They do good deeds. And they follow a religion. But they deny the power. I am glad that I serve the one true God.
Amen.
The God of the Bible.
Yes.
The Almighty One.
Amen.
The Master of Heaven. The Master of Earth. The real God.
Whoa.
The powerful God.
Yes.
This one who is concerned about and works in the lives of His children. Praise the Lord. You know, Doug mentioned this morning in Sunday school how he knows the hairs on our head. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. I wouldn't want to try and count them. But He knows them. And Brother Louis loaned me a DVD some time back. And on the message, the guy is speaking about the vastness and the hugeness of the universe. And it just boggles your mind how it can be that big. And yet the God who spoke it into existence, the God who is the creator of it, bring it back down, this little tiny planet Earth, this little speck in the universe, and then you, a smaller speck on that speck, and God knows the number of the hairs on your head.
Wow.
Amazing. What a God we serve who loves us and cares about His children.
Amen.
I'm talking about the one who died for my sins. I'm talking about the one who is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The one who is the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
The one who said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die."
Lord.
And again, he asked that question to Martha.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe this? And I ask you this morning, do you believe this?
Amen.
I want to proclaim this morning, with no doubt, that I serve a powerful God.
Amen.
He is the one. And what you believe about the resurrection affects every aspect of your Christian faith.
Yes, it does.
Verse 13 tells us that to deny the resurrection of the dead is to deny that Christ arose. How many will say it with me this morning? He is risen. Amen. The empty tomb. His appearance to over 500 people and the witness of His disciples, all who went to their deaths for their belief in the resurrection, prove it. He is risen indeed, the Scripture tells us. Hallelujah. Not only that, but Christians all over the world to this day who have experienced in their hearts the living Lord, prove it. How many here can honestly say that you have experienced the living Lord?
Amen.
You know that it's true. You know that it's real. How many have a changed life?
Hallelujah.
Glory. Praise God. How do I know He lives? He changed my life. Completely. Turned me around. Put me in another direction. I became born again. And we're so glad that we can say that we've experienced this life-changing power. You know, that's evidence of the resurrection. Because if He wasn't raised, He couldn't affect your life.
Amen.
He couldn't change you. He couldn't work in you. Hallelujah. And no one can talk you out of it. Isn't that right, Louie?
Amen.
No one can talk you out of it. We were talking one morning after Sunday school. And Louie said, it's too late. You can't talk me out of it. It's too late. How many can say amen?
Amen.
You can't talk me out of it. It's too late. I've experienced it. I know that Jesus lives.
Amen.
I know that He is risen because He lives in my heart. Do you believe this?
Amen.
If Christ is not risen, then we cannot be risen. And if we cannot be risen, then Christ cannot be risen, it tells us. But Christ is risen, and He can raise you up too.
Yes.
Even though He died. How many have that hope?
Amen.
That even though you die, yet you shall live. What a promise. We need not fear death because we have this promise. Because He is risen, then we will rise again too. If we know Him. Amen? How many have that hope?
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Another consequence of denying the resurrection is found in verse 14. It says, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, or our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also empty. And again, King James says vain. I kind of like that rendition a little more. What does it mean to be vain? It means worthless. It means it's a waste of time, doesn't it? Vain means empty. Means groundless, void of all truth and all meaning. Now listen to that. If Christ is not risen, then it's our preaching and our faith is empty, is groundless. There's nothing to base it on. Void of all truth and all meaning. It is pointless. It means that you and I gather here every week to hear some pointless speech that Pastor Lay or I have put together. A little motivational talk, a little pep talk that has no point, that has no reality. Because denying the resurrection makes it meaningless.
Amen.
If Christ is not risen, none of it is true.
Amen.
If Christ is not risen, then He is still in the grave. And it means, again, we're talking about the consequences of denying the resurrection. It means He's still in the grave. It means that He was not the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It means that He was a mere man doomed to the grave forever. That's not my Jesus.
Amen.
Is that your Jesus?
No.
That's not my Jesus. It means that He was not the Son of God. Not the Savior. It means, again, our preaching and our faith is in vain, empty, meaningless, pointless. But I want to tell you this morning, it's not pointless.
Amen.
It is the good news. The good news of the gospel. It is the message that Christ has indeed risen from the dead. And His resurrection proves that His sacrifice was accepted by God. How many know that's our only hope?
Amen.
We were born in sin. All men have sinned. We're guilty. And God is righteous to judge us for our sins. But there had to be a sacrifice. And I want to tell you, Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. He was that spotless Lamb of God who laid down His life for me so that my sins could be wiped clean. Every one of them.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for that. And if it were not for His resurrection, that could not be true. His resurrection proves it. We can be forgiven That, now there's one of them places where you can shout.
Glory.
We can be forgiven.
Yes.
We can have eternal life.
Yes.
The good news is that He is risen. And listen to this. From Hebrews 7:25, He lives forever to make intercession for us.
Glory.
I'm glad Jesus is on my side. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is on my side.
Amen.
We talked about that again. If you're missing Sunday school, I'm telling you, you're missing the Word of God.
Amen.
You need to come. You need to come out here. You can get up an extra hour early. Amen. Shout, shout.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
But we talked about in Sunday school this morning, you know, I'm saying He makes intercession for us. The Bible says that if we have sinned, we have an advocate. With the Father. The risen Christ is our advocate. And He goes to the Father on our behalf.
Amen.
That's why I'm glad I have Jesus on my side. Amen. I'm glad He makes intercession for me.
Amen.
I'm glad that He goes to the Father on my behalf.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to really, I want to stop there for a second. I want you to really think about that. The one who died for you, the one who rose again, Jesus, the Lord of all, makes intercession. It says He lives to make intercession for you.
Amen.
Really think about that.
Amen.
Praise God. He goes to the Father for you and for me. That's glorious. I'm so glad for that. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning that our preaching is not in vain.
Amen.
It is not empty. It is full of good news. The message that we can have eternal life. And that we can one day be in the presence of God. Physically. In the presence of God. For eternity. In heaven. How many want to praise God face to face? I mean, it's great when we worship God here. And His presence is with us here. Because He said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And that's great. And that's wonderful. But how great is it going to be when we stand before the throne of God and worship Him with all of our hearts and in purity and in fullness and in holiness? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the good news. Because God has indeed raised Him from the grave, we can be forgiven. Because He is raised from the grave, it means that death has been conquered. And that He will raise us up forever to live with Him. Again, we need not fear death. How many do you believe this?
Yes.
Do you believe this? But if Christ is not risen, not only is our preaching in vain, but our faith is in vain. Our faith is empty. If Christ is still in the grave, then we are putting our faith in a dead man. But He's not in the grave. He is risen. If He is not raised, then we are false witnesses. We are liars. We are deceivers. How many were witnesses for Jesus Christ? And if He's not risen, and you're a liar. You're deceiving people.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tell me He is risen.
He's alive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's alive.
He's alive. It means we're false witnesses, liars, deceivers. It also means that every martyr died for a lie. There are martyrs today that die for a lie. Those who don't follow Jesus Christ and kill themselves on behalf of Allah. They're dying for nothing. They're dying for a lie. They're dying for a deception.
Yeah.
But I want to emphasize it again this morning. He is alive.
Yes.
No, our preaching is not in vain. Our faith is not empty. And we are not false witnesses. The gospel message is real and powerful.
Glory.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for the gospel.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for the power of His blood to forgive sins. Are you telling people about it? Are you being a witness to it? We live in a lost and dying world. We live in a world that cries out to hear the gospel. And we are the ones that are to take it. We are the ones who are commissioned by Jesus Christ Himself to be witnesses to all of creation. And we need to be about the Father's business. Are you glad someone shared the gospel with you one day?
Amen.
And we need to be motivated and we need to really do it.
Yes.
I was studying church history a little bit this week, and it was talking about David Brainerd. Have you ever heard of David Brainerd? Amen. David Brainerd, back in the 1740s, I think it was a missionary to the Native Americans. And I looked online and I found his diary. If you look it up, David Brainerd diary, if you look it up on the internet, you can find it. And it's really neat to read this. It just says day-by-day entries. And he talks about how he went to the Indians who were pagans. They were heathens. And they worshipped idols. And he got an interpreter and he shared the gospel with them. And how most of them, there wasn't a dry eye. Have you experienced this? Have you shared the gospel with someone and seen the tears start flowing? I'll tell you, there's nothing like it.
Yes, amen.
Why? Because he shared the gospel.
Amen.
Is it scary? Yeah. Sometimes it's scary. Not to Edna. She goes up and witnesses the bikers in Burger King. She's not scared. But it can be scary. But how scary do you think it would be going to a tribe of Indians that you don't know much about other than other Indians were murderers and slaughter people and battle all the time? But it took courage for this man to do it. But what was the result? Was many of them got saved. And under the power of the sharing of the message of the gospel, they wept. And many of them, he said, were concerned for their souls. And I like one entry, it says, and they could not stand, and they could not go. Oh, that gives me goosebumps. They could not, they were laying on the floor, on the ground, weeping and sobbing violently before the Lord because they were sorry for their sins. It's really something, and we need to be witnesses. I know I say it all the time because it needs to be said. Amen? Give me an amen.
Amen.
For the message of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross, this good news of the gospel, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That's the opposite of being empty, vain, useless, and pointless. Amen? And I want to ask you, do you know this power? Do you know the soul-saving, cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord? Isn't it glorious? When you think back and you think about what He did, how He took your sins away, washed them, made you clean, made you as white as snow. When God looks at Him, He sees Jesus' righteousness. He sees you as pure and holy and forgiven and a child of God. That's a glorious message, isn't it? Amen. But to the world, it is foolishness. They don't believe it. But when you've experienced it, when you have had the burden of sin lifted, when you have had a changed life, I want to tell you that you are a witness to the power of God. A witness is someone who's seen something or experienced something, right? And what does a witness do? A witness testifies. Now, you don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to be an expert in theology. You know what Jesus did for you. So tell it. Amen? Stand up and tell it. One fellow in the Bible was asked, well, how can this be? How could Jesus do this? How could he heal you? And I think it was a blind man. How could he heal you? And the blind man said, I don't know. But this I know. I was blind. But now I see. And you can do the same thing. I was lost. And now I'm found. How many really know it? How many know you're saved? Thank you, Lord. You are a witness to the power of God. You are a witness to the resurrected Lord. And how sad it is when people don't know this power. How sad it is when people serve false gods. Gods that were created in the minds of men. Their faith truly is in vain. They are following a myth. It is empty and hopeless. I can boldly say it this morning, that if you're following Allah, your faith is in vain.
Yes.
If you're following Buddha, your faith is in vain. Your faith is empty. If you're following the teachings of Joseph Smith, it's where the Mormon church came from, then your faith is in vain. If you're following Charles Taze Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the teaching of any man, Your faith is in vain, and you are not following the God of the Bible, the one true God.
Amen.
And you know, one of the saddest things to me is when a person is deceived. Because these people, even these martyrs for Allah, they have a heart toward God. It's misdirected, and it's toward the wrong so-called God. But they have a desire and believe in a God. And to me, one of the saddest things is when a person has that tendency and they fall under bad teaching and they follow the wrong God because they're deceived. It's so sad. They spend their lives following a false religion only to find out when they stand before God that they are wrong. You know, I mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses and I mentioned the Mormons. And to be honest, if we're honest, when it comes to witnessing, they put us to shame.
Amen.
They put us to shame. They're out there. They're going door to door. How many have had a Jehovah's Witness at your door more than once? I've witnessed the people before on the street. And they said, "Why didn't you ever come to my house?" What do you say to that? How come nobody told me this before? The Mormons did, the Jehovah's Witnesses did, but they're following a lie. They're dedicated. They're out there doing it. But it's in vain because they're following a false God. Many are sincere and very dedicated, but their faith is in vain because they're following a dead man. We're not following a dead man.
Amen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
How serious is false teaching? How serious is it to deceive people into believing a false God? Galatians 1, Paul said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another." In other words, there is no other gospel. There's only one. "But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Listen. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed."
Amen. Yes.
"As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Accursed means to be under God's curse, anathema, devoted to destruction, and doomed to eternal punishment. False teaching is serious. And we need to be careful. Because it's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons that have false teaching. You need to be careful what you watch on TV.
Right.
Come on. It's not all the truth. They're not all. There are false teachers on that television. Even on your favorite television station. You need to be careful. You need to weigh what they say against what the gospel says. When a man says, "I do not believe that Jesus Christ is the same way, I mean, it's the only way, and he's one of the most popular preachers in America," we got trouble. Something's wrong. So you've got to look out. If they come preaching another gospel, a gospel that says he's not the only way, there are many ways. Pastor, you've brought it up many times in the last few weeks about people inventing Chrislam, the combination of Christianity and Islam. It's a false teaching. It is another gospel.
Amen.
And Paul said, if someone comes preaching that, let him be accursed.
Amen.
But you have found the truth.
Amen.
Wow, one amen. You have found the truth.
Amen.
That's better. He is indeed risen, and you are a witness to the truth. You have the truth in you.
Hallelujah.
I'm so thankful that I landed in a Bible-believing church. When I was at my lowest, what if the JWs would have stopped by then? I could be following a lie, but thanks be to God. When I got saved, I landed in this church, a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
That knows the truth and knows the gospel. Verses 16 through 18 in our main text. Yes, and we are found false witnesses. Paul kind of repeats some of the things he says to give them emphasis because it's important. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And again, your faith is in vain. I'm so glad we don't serve an empty faith. I'm so glad it's not just an empty religion where we're just going through the motions, hoping for the best. Because some man told me if I come and I do this 16 times and I count my beads and do whatever he says, that my sins can be forgiven. No man can forgive your sins. Only the advocate that we have, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I don't come before some picture and believe that that's going to get me closer to God, some icon. There's a lot of false religion out there. And many people are deceived. And you can see it how they live their lives. They go through the motions on a Sunday morning or whatever day they do their thing. But the rest of the week, they're just like the world. But they think they're covered, and that's sad because they've been deceived. Amen? The great hope is that because Christ has arose, the resurrection is possible, and we will also arise. There are several places in the Bible that refer to Jesus as the firstborn from the dead. Colossians 1:18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. He went ahead of us. He conquered death. He was the first of many. And because He is risen, we too can conquer death.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when we bury a loved one, we have this great hope. Death is not final. They will live again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. How sad it is when people believe when you're dead, you're dead. Their loved one is gone forever. But we have hope in Christ.
Amen.
That we shall rise again.
Amen.
And we'll meet. I'm going to meet my mom someday.
Amen.
On the other side of that river. And I'm going to give her such a big hug. I miss her so bad. But I'm going to see her again.
Amen.
Because she will rise again.
Amen.
Out of that grave. Thank you, Jesus. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, verse 18 tells us. Paul repeats the thought that if Christ is not raised, there's no hope for us. The dead are dead and will remain that way for eternity. We would be nothing more if it were not for Christ and His resurrection and His power. We would be nothing more than bones in a graveyard. But we're going to rise. We're going to rise.
Amen.
I want to tell you. What's that, Pastor?
Little old grave can't hold
my... Amen. Right here it is, my next note. But like that old song says, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Right.
Hallelujah.
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 And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Not only is your faith futile, worthless, vain, pointless, but you are still in your sins. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. We are all guilty, and the punishment for our sin is eternity in hell. That's right. That's what I said. Is that right?
Amen.
Eternity in hell, separated from God for eternity. If Christ is not raised, then there's no hope for us. We're still in our sin. Speaking of the resurrection, again, Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And I ask you that same question. It's an important question. So I've asked you several times. It makes a difference between whether you are saved or lost, what you believe in the resurrection. Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead? And I want to ask you also, have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Amen. I like those amens. It means to confess that Jesus is who He said He is. He is Lord of Lord, Lord of all.
Amen.
Have you confessed Jesus is Lord? It means to truly make Him the Lord of your life. Not just saying the words, it's not a formula, but to truly make Him the Lord of your life. Is He really the Lord of your life this morning?
Yes. Amen.
Is He the King? Does He rule?
Amen.
Is it what He says goes and not what I say or I feel or I think?
Yes.
But Jesus first? That's what it means to confess Him as Lord. Romans 10:10-11 continues, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame." With your heart you believe to righteousness. It means that when you believe in Jesus Christ, God counts your faith as righteousness. Our efforts of righteousness are what?
Filthy rags.
Our efforts at righteousness come to nothing. Our trying to be good amounts to nothing. How many know we can't do it?
Amen.
We have a sin nature. But when we trust in Christ, the risen Lord, God applies His righteousness to us. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. With the mouth, man confesses Christ to salvation. That is openly confessing Christ, and whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Do you openly confess Christ? Or are you ashamed of Him? Do you only confess and speak of Him in church? The Bible tells us you cannot deny Him and expect to be saved. Now hear me this morning. Do you openly confess Christ with your mouth? Matthew 10:33, "But whoever denies Me before men, whoever denies Me before men, him I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven." I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to ever deny Him.
Amen.
Because I don't want Him to deny me.
Amen.
You know, we talked about it earlier, how He goes to the Father on our behalf. He makes intercession. But this tells me that if I deny Him, that's not going to happen. He's going to deny me. Do you openly confess Christ, or are you ashamed of Him this morning? Back to 1 Corinthians again, verse 19. If in this life, speaking of the resurrection, and He said the dead are not rise and they'll remain in their death. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most pitiable or miserable. If all this is false, if Christ is not raised, if we will not be raised, if our faith is futile, if we are still in our sin, we are most pitiable, we are most miserable because we believe a lie. We believe a false philosophy. We're pitiable because our God is powerless. We're opposed and suffer for nothing. How many know people suffer for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
We don't really know that in this country.
Yes.
We might get told to shut up. Or leave me alone, you Jesus freak, or something like that. But we're not beaten. But there are brothers and sisters in Christ in this world that are beaten and killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And how sad is that if it's a lie? How pitiable is that? How miserable is that? It means we deny ourselves for a lie. How many deny yourself? That means you follow Jesus instead of doing what you want to do. Yeah, you're doing it for nothing if He's not risen. What a sad situation. How miserable that would be. Again, I want to proclaim it this morning that we are not miserable. How many are not miserable? How many are happy in the Lord? Amen. You know the truth. We're not miserable because there is a resurrection. Jesus is alive. And because He has been raised, those who belong to Him will be raised. He came and conquered sin, death, grave, and the grave and hell, so that we could be saved and reign forever with Him. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Do you believe this?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes.
Lord, thank You, Lord.
It's time to be serious about the Lord. It's time to respond to His message. If you're here this morning and you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord, if you've not repented of your sins and asked Him for forgiveness, I want to tell you the good news is, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed, if you'll simply ask Him to forgive you, He will forgive you and wash you clean. And your destiny from this very day will be heaven. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you're here this morning and you say, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to experience that power of the resurrection in my life. I have sinned against God and I'm worthy of hell. All you do is you simply pray in your own words. Father, I'm a sinner. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I repent. That means I turn from my sins. I'm not going to do them anymore. I repent of my sins. And I want you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me, Lord. Make me clean. And bring me into your family. You pray that in your own words. That's no formula. You don't have to repeat that exact thing. And you pray it from your heart. And if that's your desire, I want to tell you the good news is you will be saved.
Hallelujah.
And if you've done that this morning, it would be great if you said something to Pastor or I so we can give you materials to help you out in your new walk with Christ. Now I want to talk to those who are saved. You can open your eyes and raise your hand. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I ask that question, have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus?
Yes.
Before men, before people. And I want to ask you this morning, who will stand right now and confess Jesus as Lord? Go ahead, just stand and do it. Somebody confess Jesus as Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Confess Him. Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. He is the Lord of my life. I love Him with all my heart. He saved my soul. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.